A story was once told about a high court judge whose son was involved in a crime, and his father, his biological father, happens to be the judge. And the crime, the father was actually what an African will call it, in between righteousness and flesh, where you are faced with, you know, you are faced with a dilemma to do the right thing or to compromise. The son committed a crime that is punishable by the law, and his father didn't have a choice. Instead of manipulating the case to favor his son, he rather stood for justice. He stood for what is right. And he sentenced his son, his beloved son, you know, to life imprisonment. That punishment is either the son should be sentenced to death by hanging, firing squad, or by life in prison. Now, this judge pronounced his judgment and sentenced his own son to life in prison. After the court session, he came down from the court bench, took off his gown, took off his wig, and he went on his knees, pleading for his son. He had the opportunity to manipulate the case to save his son. But he allowed his son to face the punishment. The son had to pay for what he has committed. Yet, behind that sincere judge lies a beloved father who wouldn't endure seeing his son going through that. Rather, he went on his knees, just like every other father, to say, "I know my son. Now I am speaking not as a judge, but as a father. Please have mercy." We have seen Paul pointing the Corinthians church towards something incredible that the Lord has done. But before then, I will please ask you to be on your feet as we read the word of God. Let's honor the Lord as we be on our feet and read the word of God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by the glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold. We live as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for this moment. Your word is before your people. I stand before your people. Use me to speak to your people. I take away flesh and I surrender myself to you, Father. Take away self and speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. We are saved by grace through Christ. As that judge in the courtroom, God reconciled us to himself. He has reconciled humanity to himself. This is an act of God's love for man, that he decided to restore man to the place of fellowship, despite the disobedience, despite the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, at the Garden of Eden. Just like the judge that, I just talked to you about, we are supposed to face death. Before Christ, man, humanity, are like people that are sentenced to death because of their crime, because of their disobedience. Paul was calling them, reminding the Corinthians that God reconciled humanity to himself. That was why he said in 21, verse 21, he made him who knew not sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we will become the righteousness of God in him. So before Christ, man awaits death. As Romans 5:12 will say, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. It was sin, it was disobedience that brought about the destruction. Man is just there, separated from God, cast away from the presence of God because of disobedience. But God decided in his mercy and grace to restore that fellowship. And how will he restore that fellowship? Was by sending his incarnate son, who is Jesus Christ, to die. He who has no sin, he who has never committed sin, he who has no debt, has become sin for your sake. This is not as a result of man's plea and cry. This is not because man has realized and ask God for mercy? No. But because the love that God has for man, the love that God has for man, he decided to reconcile man to himself. Sin has separated man from God and subjected man to destruction and eternal punishment. But God brought man back through that, the death of Jesus. Jesus bearing sin for our sake. He also reminded them that it shows God's forgiveness despite disobedience that man exhibits and unfaithfulness. God forgives by sending his son, his beloved son, only begotten son, for the sake of humanity. I love John Calvin's reply to Cardinal Sadolet when he was discussing about this. And he said, man is reconciled in Christ to God the Father by no merit of his own, by no value of works, but by gratuitous mercy. Man's reconciliation to God was not as a result of man's work, is not a result of merit, is not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done. That no one should boast about it. That no one should claim that it's because of merit. No, it's because of God's mercy and love for humanity. That was why Calvin made it clear that no one should brag. And I take that again. Man is reconciled in Christ to God the Father by no merit of his own, by no value of works, but by gratuitous mercy. This is not just done so that he will reconcile. God reconciled man to himself for a purpose. And the purpose is that so that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. So that sin will no longer have dominion over us. That we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. A man, a righteous God, took on sin and became sin so that sinners will become righteous. What a glorious God. When you are subjected, when we are subjected to condemnation, when we are subjected to eternal punishment, then God decided. Not man repented, but God decided. It's God's decision. This is the essence of the reconciliation, that we may return to fellowship with God the Father through Christ, so that we should live not as sinners any longer, but as sons of God, to stop living in sin and seek to please the Lord. That is the essence of the reconciliation, that we may no longer live under the bondage of sin, that we may no longer live under the shackle of sin, that sin will not cage us any longer. But now we have a relationship with God. That which separates us from God is sin. And Jesus took it upon himself. He went on the cross. He hung on the cross. and he gave us life eternal. He saved us from death. Apostle Paul went ahead to remind them, to urge them, that you should not receive the grace of God in vain. Even though this is not the work of your hands, this is not what you work for, it's not what comes to you by merit, but by mercy. Do not take this grace in vain. Don't take it lightly. Don't joke with it. Paul urges them that the grace they receive be evident in their daily life. They should grow in it day by day. They should not be like the seed that falls on the wrong way. Matthew 13, 20 to 21. Jesus' parable explained, parable of the sower. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm roots on himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Paul is saying that giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. Do not take this grace in vain. Paul was concerned about a faithful Christian living. He was concerned about how the lives of these people could discredit the gospel or the ministry. Because at the acceptable time, I listened to you. Paul, in carrying the gospel to the Corinthians, has experienced the power and help of God as sinners hear him and respond effectively to his preaching. He quoted Isaiah 49, verse 8. That was what Paul quoted here, to remind the Corinthians believers of those wonderful days of repentance and salvation when they received the gift of salvation through Paul's ministry in preaching. Remember, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. I did not just listen to you, but I helped you. Do not take this grace that has been given to you, that you've received, for granted. Don't just be like this seed that falls on the rocky side. It grows, but because there is no firm roots, it dies. Then he said, in verse 4, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distress, in beating, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Giving no cause for anything, they should make sure they don't make room for mockery. And their conduct and speech must work together to avoid giving chance to stumble. Let your words and your actions work together. Do not give reasons. Do not create room for mockery. Do not create room, you know, make room for the gospel to be discredited. Prove yourselves. Commend yourselves through endurance. The Christ who Paul preaches, Paul himself faces all manner of persecution for the sake of the gospel. But he stood his ground. Paul did not forget to tell the Corinthians that he's not saying that because you've received the gospel, because you've received the grace, therefore there will be no tribulation. Paul was not like the new generational churches. Because you've received Jesus, there is no, you know, nothing will happen to you. Nothing bad will happen to you. Accident will not be your portion. You will never die. Paul was not like that. He was not there to motivate them. He was not there as a motivational speaker, but he made them to understand that Christ, who I preach to you, suffered. He took the bruises. He hung on the cross. He reconciled you to the Father. He became sin that you will be righteous. I, who stand before you see me. Possibly, they might have read about Paul. They might have known about some of the life threats and other things that Paul faced. But he's telling them that this grace might not come without a price. You will face persecution. You will face persecution. He assured the Corinthians that trouble will come, but they shall endure. In every situation, whether good or bad. You shall endure. Expect good, but also be ready to stand firm when the bad comes. We have a lot of people, and this, when I was actually studying this, I remember how, you know, in a lot of countries in the world, today, we have a lot of people that are not in their homes. They are in IDP camps. You know, a lot of people have become displaced. Even in Nigeria, if you look at some of us, we are better than some other people. Because some have left their homes for God knows when. And there is no hope of going back. Only because they answered the name Jesus. That is their crime. That is their crime. Some of them, their houses are burnt down. The only condition for this to stop is that we will not rest until the last man on earth becomes a Muslim. Kill the Christians and the Jews and make Islam the supreme religion of the world. Therefore, to be a Christian in some countries, you know, is like, you know, carrying like a condemned certificate that at any time your life might go. Some we are not faced by persecution, Some we are faced by the natural disasters. And that leads to hunger. Paul was not ignorant of that. Some of you will face beating, imprisonment, and hunger. But in all of this, there is something that is bigger. The grace you've received, you should not take it in vain. We should respond to the gospel with openness. In verse 13, 12 to 13, he emphasizes that now I speak to you as children. Or in another word, now I speak as to children. Be open-minded. In every situation, respond to the gospel with openness. Be faithful in endurance. Paul was very direct to tell them, we did not restrain you by our speech or conduct among you. Therefore, your faith is not hindered by us in any way. We did not do anything that will hinder your faith. We try our best to live as example among you. If there is anything that will hinder you, it will be your own affections, which is living in sin and receiving the grace of God in vain. Paul was very sure that his life had no negative impact on them. But they might probably be entangled by their evil pleasures and desires of life, which result to sin. There is need to endure in good and in bad, knowing that this salvation that comes, it comes because of God's grace and mercy. You are saved by grace through Christ, who bore your sin to make you righteous. All is required of you is to endure hardship. A lot of people love to be successful, but hate the process of being successful. I was speaking with my friends this morning, and I said that we want to be successful, we want to excel, but we hate the process that will help us to excel. This grace is freely given. It's not by merit. It's not by works of anyone. It's by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, receive it with all sincerity and faithfulness. Don't take it in vain. Endure hardship. I won't lie to you. Just as Paul said to the Corinthians church, we will face hardship. We will face tribulation. I wanted to send a picture, but I've forgotten yesterday. I wanted to display the picture here. A young boy, there was an attack in a place called Plateau State in Nigeria on Palm Sunday and on Easter Sunday. They will tell you they will come, and they will come. They have taken a lot of people down. But what breaks the heart of the Christian Association of Nigeria is that a young boy was kidnapped. His name is John. He's a university student. And because of the unrest, his parents asked him to come back home until the whole thing settles. And on his way, he got kidnapped. And the kidnappers used his own phone, you know, to make a video and post it on the school WhatsApp group. The way they tortured the boy. The whole Christian. I think even some of the U.S. executive here in America, some of them raised this issue. It's not something that is pleasing to the eyes. But again, they beat him up and they force him to deny that he's a Christian. And he said he is not a Christian. He suffered and he said, I am not a Christian. You are a Christian? He said, I'm not a Christian. Then when they hit him on the head, then he said, Jesus. That sent a strong message to me. And immediately he said, Jesus. They said, you are not a Christian. This is a video the kidnappers sent for people to watch. People will face that. In our homes, we face some challenges. In our working places, we face challenges. Some of you that are seated in this sanctuary, probably you don't have what to eat for lunch. But because I suffer persecution, because I suffered hunger today, because we suffer all manner of hardship today, does not mean we should take the grace of God in vain. God is still God, and God is still on the throne. He knows everything that is happening. All we need to do is to make sure that we walk in faith. With sincere love, Paul makes an appeal to the Corinthians. Because of the grace of God, you should endure in suffering for the sake of the gospel and be open to the grace which come to you and reconcile you to God through Jesus Christ. Today, all he requires from us is to respond to his gospel and walk according to his will. Let our speech and our conduct bring praise and glory to his name. We should equally appreciate the grace we have received, which is not the work of our hands, nor did we merit it. We are saved by grace, and God reconciled us to himself. Through his incarnate son, he became sin, suffered, mocked, was bruised, maltreated. He took our place for us to be saved. Just like that judge whose son is faced with death sentence, but is decided to come down from his bench as a judge and plead on behalf of his son. God did that for us so that we will be saved, so that none of us will be destroyed. Now is our own responsibility. God's mercy, man's responsibility. His own, he has done his part to save us from destruction. Now it's left for us to decide. As Jesus will say, I present to you life and death. But I beseech you, brethren, Choose life that you may live. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for sending your only beloved Son to become sin, who knew not sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Help us to acknowledge that we are saved by grace through Christ, not by our work, nor by merit, but is by your mercy. Help us to walk in your will and your purpose. Help us to stand firm in the face of persecution, hunger, and all kind of hardship. Help us not to compromise, but help us to grow daily as we seek to know you, to love you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.